Chapter 9. Amrila led the way down into a tunnel that led to the Dolrath territory, which had a notable downward slope. It twisted and turned around on itself like a corkscrew, but after what felt like a couple hours of walking, it led out to a long set of stone steps. By the time we got to the bottom, I was almost panting, and I could feel a prickle of sweat on my forehead.
"If you want me to be of any use to you," Skurd sighed, "I'll need to sit down for a moment and eat something."
"The northern lake isn't far from here,"
Amrila said, and she looked around to get her bearings.
"Really?"
I asked, as I remembered the last time I'd seen the lake.
"It's just east of here,"
the horned woman pointed.
"And if we wait to rest there, we won't have to worry about the scavenger beetle."
"If we must,"
the Zinkari man said in a resigned voice.
"At least we'll be able to freshen up before we head for the encampment."
The three of us headed east, across the rocky terrain of the Dolrath's land. But it was about another hour of walking before we reached the subterranean lake. Then Amrila led us right to the place where she and I had fought the Shadow Demon and first met Nylame. It was so peaceful now that it was hard to believe there'd been a pile of dead goblins and bog demons strewn along the shores just weeks ago. I knelt down next to the lake and rinsed my hands off in the cold, clear water. The lake itself was beautiful. With water so clear, I could see the colorful pebbles at the bottom of the shallows. A majestic waterfall cascaded down from the rock ceiling, which filled this part of the cavern with a pleasant rushing sound, like a white noise machine. Most of the Dolrath territory was sparsely vegetated, but here next to the waters, there were some scrubby bushes, patches of blue-green grass, and more patches of gloom mushrooms to light the area. Next to me, Scourge splashed his head and neck with water to clean away the blood splatter from the fight, and Amrila did the same. Then we all settled in for a moment as I broke out some jerky and trail mix. Amrila was used to the fare of the surface world by now, but the look on the Zinkari man's face was priceless as he tried the trail mix for the first time.
"It's both salty and sweet,"
the dark-skinned man gasped.
"Brilliant. And what are these delightful little sweets with the bright colors?"
"Candy-coated chocolate," I grinned as I enjoyed the foppish man's reaction. "Next time I come for a visit, I'll bring you some really good chocolates."
"Yes, please,"
Scourge replied in a low voice.
"I've never had anything so rich and mysterious."
"If everyone's all rested up, I think we can start toward the encampment," I said as I stood and brushed myself off.
"Do you remember the way?"
the red-skinned woman asked as we cleared up any signs of our rest by the lake. "Yeah," I said as I looked around and thought for a moment. "There's a road just south of here that would take us to the encampment. Or we could follow the edge of the lake west and get there a little quicker."
"Up to you,"
Amrila shrugged. "Let's follow the lake," I decided. "That way we don't have to worry about running into anyone on our way into the city. Chief Ektome probably won't approve of us asking Nylame's help with anything to do with Ursinger. It's probably better to avoid being noticed too much."
"Then I'm following you, partner,"
the horned woman purred. When we didn't have to worry about a teleporting demon made out of living shadows, the walk along the lake's edge was actually enjoyable. The gloom was a strange but beautiful place, and even the desolate regions of the Dolrath territory had their own charm. The stalactites and the stalagmites varied in color from deep grays to rusty reds to muted blues and purples, and there was always something new and interesting to look at. Eventually, we saw the first of the tents on the outskirts of the city of the Dolrath Night Elves. Most of the semi-permanent tents were deep blue or a golden yellow, which seemed to be the favored color scheme of the Dolrath tribe. But there were other colors mixed in. It was unlike any other settlement I'd seen in my time in the gloom. The Yeni all seemed to like wooden structures with dome-like roofs, and I had only seen a small part of the Dolrath lands. But I wondered if other settlements also consisted mostly of tents. There was also the Karardu tribe, and I wondered how they lived. There was so much left to explore in this subterranean world. As we entered the city, the three of us slipped through the gap between two tents and out into the dirt streets of the encampment. The meeting house where Ektome gathered her many warriors was in the eastern part of the city, just a little south of us, so we made our way in that direction. "Down this road to the west of us is a little tavern tent," I started to say as I thought about the best way to find Nylame. "Maybe some of us—"
"Your Majesty!"
a rich baritone voice called out, and I turned my head to see Bakoth. The male night elf had a dark red mohawk, sharp red eyes that seemed to see everything, and a hooked nose that reminded me of a bird's beak. Bakoth was one of Ekname's captains, and I actually kinda liked the man who had once detained me. The elven warrior was wearing his glittering black armor made from the shells of the giant beetles that lived throughout the territory, and he smiled graciously as he walked toward us.
"Your Majesty,"
Scourge repeated in a hushed voice with a hint of sarcasm to it. "It's a long story," I said quickly, and felt a little embarrassed. "Just go along with it."
"I'm so glad to see you both again,"
the red-headed elf said as he came up to our group and bowed slightly.
"To what do we owe this great honor?"
"Just passing through," I lied before I gestured to the Zinkari man. "This is
Skrello the Grey, His Majesty's loyal valet."
Scourge interrupted, and he also bowed. I cringed inwardly at the Zinkari man's declaration. It was still unclear to me if the Dolrath leaders actually believed I was some kind of goblin nobility, or if they knew I wasn't actually a goblin and called me Your Majesty just to tease me. The whole misunderstanding seemed to get further out of hand the more I let it go on, but I was worried if I addressed it, there would be questions about what I actually was, which opened up a whole new line of questions about the surface that I didn't want to answer. I guess I had to go along with it for as long as it was useful.
"Pleased to meet you, Skrello,"
Bakoth replied with an unreadable expression.
"Well, unless there's anything I can do for you, I have pressing business I must get to."
"It was good seeing you," I said to the hawk-faced man, and I meant it. "We'll be in town for a few hours. Maybe we'll run into each other again."
"I certainly hope so,"
Bakoth smiled.
"Amrila, charmed as ever."
"Naturally. I'm amazing."
The horned woman inclined her head. The red-haired man bowed once more and then continued down the street, and we watched his retreating back as he turned a corner and went out of sight.
"Maybe I should try to find the princess while you gentlemen wander the market,"
Amrila said as she turned back to Scourge and me.
"I can go around this city almost undetected if I'm alone, and once I find Nylame, I can bring her to you."
"That seems like a good idea," I agreed. "Just be careful."
"Am I not usually careful?"
Amrila teased as she smiled playfully. "You know what I mean," I snorted, and then I leaned down and kissed her soft lips. The red-skinned woman smiled up at me before she started to walk into a crowd as she pulled up the hood of her cloak. I lost sight of her within a few moments and was impressed by her skills in the art of blending in.
"That woman is one of the finest thieves I've ever met,"
Scourge said approvingly.
"I guess we should go see the market then."
"Yeah," I agreed, and we started to walk down the street in the opposite direction from where Amrila had gone. "Why did you not want Bakoth to know your real name?"
"Only 3 people in the world know my real name,"
Scourge grinned.
"And one of them is my mother. I didn't want him to hear the name Scourge, because that name comes with a certain reputation."
"How many names do you have?" I chuckled.
"As many as I need," the Zinkari man shrugged. "Names are like accessories. Some you like better than others, but may not suit every occasion. Others may wear out and need to be thrown away, but one can never have too many."
"You're a very complicated man, Scourge." I smirked as we came to the edge of the market square, where peddlers ran various carts and booths.
"Thank you for noticing,"
the dark-skinned man replied, and his eyes lit up as he looked around at the different wares on display.
"Now, let's find a cloak for you."
"A cloak?" I scrunched my eyebrows together. "I'm not really that cold."
"It's not for your comfort,"
Scourge explained as he moved confidently into the market, with his eyes taking in everything at once.
"In the gloom, a furtive figure in a cloak is less notable than an overgrown gnome."
"Or a vampire," I joked, as the Zinkari man led me to a booth with various bolts of cloth in a barrel, ribbons, and a few items of clothing on display.
"Ah,"
the foppish man sighed.
"Whoever first made that comparison had clearly never actually seen a vampire before. Aside from your pale pink skin, there's absolutely no resemblance. Vampires have very little body hair, rows of pointed teeth, and the heart-shaped noses of nictors."
The Zinkari man felt the edge of a bolt of fabric between 2 fingers, and it was a matte, cotton-like material dyed a bluish-gray collar that resembled much of the rock in the gloom. "What about a goblin?" I asked as I looked at the wrap shirt in the Dolrath style. Amrilla seems to think I could pass for one.
I suppose I could see that.
The horned man nodded as he pulled the bolt of cloth from the barrel.
But your jaw is a little too squared, and your blue eyes would be exceptionally rare. But you could pass for a higher-order goblin in a pinch. Wait, is that why the Dolrath soldiers call you Your Majesty?
Kinda. I shrugged and rolled my eyes. He overheard a joke Amrilla made, and it kinda stuck.
That's marvelous.
Scourge laughed richly as he took the bolt over to the night elf woman running the booth.
How long would it take for you to whip up a cloak for my lanky friend here?
The older woman had coarse white hair, tied up in a sensible bun, and her blood-red eyes looked me up and down.
Not sure there's enough cloth on that boat to cover the whole of him.
The wrinkled woman replied with a wry smile.
I should charge you by the inch.
If you can do so quickly, we'll be happy to pay.
Scourge gave the woman a winning smile.
10 gold.
The night elf woman said flatly, so she was clearly sensing the opportunity to make some good money. I watched for the Zinkari man's counteroffer. I was still figuring out the value of gold and goods in the gloom, and this seemed like an excellent chance to learn.
I know my friend is almost offensively tall.
Scourge began. Hey! I interjected indignantly.
But there is no reason to try to gouge us.
The dark-skinned man continued.
I will pay you 5 silver. 6, if you can have it ready within the hour.
7.
The old woman countered, and she crossed her arms to signal it was her final offer.
I guess that's reasonable.
Scourge sighed and then looked over at me.
Pay the good woman, if you please.
I looked skeptically at the Zinkari man and counted out 7 silvers from the pouch of coins I had with me. Then the woman came from around the counter of her booth with a long, knotted string and a wooden crate for her to stand on. The elderly night elf was short, even for someone from the gloom, and she struggled to reach the top of my shoulder. I tried to stoop a little to help her, but the wrinkled woman gave me a sharp rap on the arm.
Don't help me, boy,
she tutted.
If you're not standing up straight, it'll be all off.
After the seamstress had gotten all of her measurements, Scourge and I thanked the old woman and started to wander around the market again. So was that actually a good price? I asked as we passed a stand that sold many strangely shaped and colored fruits. I'm not very familiar with the going rates for Dolrath tailoring.
I was not kidding about how obscenely tall you are.
Scourge snorted.
We're lucky to have paid less than a gold for a rush job, no less.
Fair enough, I grinned. Just as we were about to walk to the next stand, I saw Amrilla and Nilame enter the marketplace, and I watched as the two incredible women looked around at the stalls until they finally spotted Scourge and me. The dark-haired elven woman was in her glittering, iridescent black armor, which exposed her well-muscled arms. The warrior woman's massive greatsword was slung on her back, and she moved with a grace and confidence that came from deep within as she approached us.
Eddie.
Nilame smiled softly as she greeted me.
Amrilla has told me you both came a long way to see me.
Yeah. I grinned back at the Dolrath princess. But I don't think we should all talk here.
Is there somewhere we can go where we won't be overheard?
The horned woman asked.
I suppose we could speak in my tent.
The warrior woman offered, but her expression was a little confused.
I will stay here and wait for your cloak, sire.
Scourge said as he looked up from the fruits he'd been gently testing the ripeness of with his hands. Oh, I said, and I was slightly caught off guard by the Zinkari man's continued ruse. All right, sounds good. We'll come back through here to get you before we leave.
We'll need some supplies, sir.
Scourge said while still using a deferential tone.
If I may have some money, I can get them while you see to your business.
Scourge smiled slyly at me, and I realized there was a second layer to his whole lie about being my valet. This dude was clever, and I liked it. Sure, I chuckled as I passed him the gold. But be sure you get a good price.
Of course, sire.
The dark-skinned man replied as he looked down at the coins in his hand and started to move away into the rest of the market. Amrilla and I followed Nilame to her tent, which happened to be a little too close to the meeting house for my comfort. The cloth that made up the walls of the Dolrath buildings was thick, but it was still just cloth. I wondered how anyone in the encampment got a moment of privacy. Inside the tent was a large, single room, with a thin wooden screen that acted as a room divider between the living room and what I assumed was the place where the warrior woman slept. The center of the living space was taken up by a low table, surrounded by a circle of cushions, and in one corner there was a wooden mannequin for her to hang her armor on, and a stand for her greatsword. But best of all was the old Bulgarian AK she had in a place of pride, with it hanging from the wooden screen where it would be seen as soon as anyone entered the tent.
"Have a seat,"
the warrior woman offered as she moved across the open area of the tent and put her sword on its stand.
"Thank you,"
Amrila replied and took a seat on one of the soft cushions.
"You have a lovely home.
It is not large."
Nilame shrugged as she came back to sit by the table.
"But as an unmarried woman, I do not require much."
"Don't worry,"
the horned woman purred as she shot me a sly look.
"A woman like you is a real catch. I'm sure you'll find a good match very soon."
I cringed inwardly. What was it with my wife's obsession with me marrying other women? I knew this Inkari woman had guessed that I had some feelings for Nilame and was just teasing me, but I started to blush all the same. "The reason we came here?" I cleared my throat and tried to speak quietly, so no one out on the street could hear. "Is to see if you wanted to help us with something. You said that when we moved against Ursinger, you wanted to be there."
"What did you have in mind?"
Nilame asked as she lowered herself onto a cushion. The elven woman grabbed a bottle sitting on the table and poured a light blue liquid into three small glasses, and then she handed Amrila and I each a glass. "Ursinger has a retreat in some woodlands, just outside of the Yeni capital," I said as I accepted the drink from the Dolrath princess. "We think we can find what we need to prove the bastard has broken the treaty with the other tribes in there. Amrila and that Sankari guy you met back in the market are both thieves. So, they can get in there. And you and I are both warriors, so we'll be able to handle anything else that comes up. Which reminds me." I grabbed my backpack and pulled out the boxes of ammo and the Pro-X headphones I'd bought for Nilame. "These are for you." I grinned as I handed them to the dark-haired woman.
"What are they?"
Nilame asked as she turned them over in her graceful hands.
"Those are headphones,"
Amrila pointed.
"They go over your ears and protect them from the loud sound of rifle fire."
"And the boxes are more ammo for your rifle," I added.
"Really?"
Nilame's eyes lit up, as if I'd just given her the most precious jewel in all the world.
"How wonderful. I have dreams about firing the AK again."
The elven woman overpronounced the name for the type of gun, but honestly, it was kinda cute. The princess got up and grabbed her AK from off the wall and brought it over to the table, where she sat right next to me. Amrila moved over without a word, and a mysterious smile stretched across her angular face.
"Please,"
Nilame said breathlessly as she met my eyes.
"Show me how to load the bullets. And of course I will come with you both to help in the fight against the Mad Chief."
"A wonderful idea,"
a deep male voice said from the other side of the wooden partition.
"Let's all go."
Suddenly, Bakath stepped out from behind the partition with a smile on his face like he'd just stolen a piece of gold out from under a sleeping troll.
"Bakath!"
Nilame exclaimed in a scolding tone.
"I should have your head for being in my tent without my permission."
"Oh, you would be right to, my lady,"
the red-headed elf said as he calmly folded his hands in front of himself.
"And of course, as part of my confession of guilt, I would have to share that I overheard you plotting against a night elf chief while I was trespassing. It's all a terrible shame."
The red-eyed elven man had a very dry sense of humor, and I almost missed the sarcasm in his voice. Nilame put her hands on her shapely hips and stared the hawk-faced man down for a long, silent moment.
"What do you want in return for your silence, you rascal?"
She finally sighed.
"I want to come with you,"
Bakath said as he inclined his head and looked at us all with a serious expression.
"I actually think it's a very good idea, assuming you find what you're looking for. Otherwise, all of our heads will be on the chopping block."
The Mohawked warrior laughed wryly to himself. "Why should we bring you along?" I asked the red-haired man in a voice that was more curious than challenging.
"Well,"
Bakath replied as he spread his hands in a modest gesture,
"I was able to listen to your whole conversation without any of you knowing I was in the room. Not even your master thief there."
The Dolrath man pointed to Amrila with a broad grin.
"He's right, you know."
Amrila laughed.
"You may consider that my qualification,"
Bakath concluded. "Okay." I grinned at the wily night elf. Unless Nilame has any objections, I'm all right with you coming too.
He is a fine warrior.
The dark-haired woman agreed as she narrowed her eyes at him.
Even if he is a pain in the arse.
Please, my lady, Bekoff said with forced modesty. You heap me with too much praise. Let's go get Skrello, I said with a hint of sarcasm. I'm sure he's had enough time by now to spend my money. Nylamane Bekoff agreed to meet us outside of the encampment once they'd gathered some things, and Amreel and I headed back to the market to collect Scourge, and found the Zenkari man arguing with a pockmarked elven man over some dried meats.
Highway robbery,
the dark-skinned man intoned as he gestured at the display of jerky and salt-crusted chunks of meat.
How do you even stay in business?
Are you almost done? I snorted as I walked up to the agitated half-demon man.
You're lucky my friends have arrived, and that I'm too busy to be delayed further,
Scourge said with venom in his tone, and he threw a handful of silver on the counter of the stall.
Have a good day, sir,
the scarred shopkeeper said with an oily smile as he handed the Zenkari man a cloth sack. Scourge snatched the bag out of the man's hand and stomped away with us following after him a moment later, but by the time we caught up to the dark-skinned man, he was already visibly calmer.
Here is your change,
Scourge said in a pleasant tone as he handed me a fistful of coins. It was a mix of gold and silver, and I was trying to remember how many silvers to a gold coin that Amreel had told me. This is more than I gave you, I said after some quick math.
I know,
the Zenkari man said as he stuck out his bottom lip slightly.
Another hour, I could have made you a real profit.
I'm liking you more and more with each passing hour, I chuckled as I put the coins in my pouch. Come on, we're meeting the rest of our party outside of town.